And how long am I supposed to go for here?
I don't understand when to stop, but at least like 20 minutes.
20 minutes, something? Okay, sure.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, just discuss some of the halachas of the 9 days. Maybe just go back a little bit of the background behind it, so we're able to understand the different halachas better. In Chazal, we only see two really tekufas as far as avelas for 9 days. We see the 9 days, Mishenichas, Av, Matan, B'Simcha, and we have Shur Shachalbo. The 3 weeks from Shiva Sabatabo is that really is that avelas. Is not really mentioned in Farish and Chazal. And unlike the by Avelis, so to say, Bar Midan, when a person has a curve there is Nifter, the Avelis is very intense. You have the Aninus, and then the Avelis and Shiva, and then Shosh, and then it starts to soften up as it goes on. Here, the way Chazal, the way Kleisel has brought in and done this, the hug of this Avelis Yishana, is that we start off 3 weeks is more subtle, then we come to the 9 days, and it starts to gain momentum, so to say, and then the Shavur Shachalbo, Er Tisha B'Av after Chatzos, Sudam Afsekes, the Marash gets more and more, reaches a zenith point in the night of Tisha B'Av and day, and after Chatzos already, Tisha B'Av then starts to go down a little bit, and there's a concept of Nechama, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's when the Beis HaMikdash was officially burnt, put on fire, Kadosh Baruch Hu was Shofi Chamos al Eitzim V'Avanim, that was like a kapara for Klal Yisrael. Then you have the tenth of Av, till by until Chatzos. So it kind of goes like this, and then goes back down. And some even want to learn, there's a lumdus, that the day of Tisha B'Av, the day of Tisha B'Av itself has different, there's Aninus and there's Avelis within it. It's all different ways of learning how Tisha B'Av itself works. What Chazal asked her during the 9 days was Mamatim B'Simcha. And Tosa says, no Simcha at all. Mamatim sounds like you minimize. But Tosa says, no, it means there's no Simcha. And so what does Mamatim B'Simcha mean? So Chazal say you don't have Binyan Shel Simcha, you don't have Netiya Shel Simcha during the 9 days. And also you're Ramayit Mekach HaMemkar of Simcha. Those are like the three Simcha things. The fourth Simcha thing is just Simcha. That our mood is more subtle. Our mood is more subdued. We just don't, it's not the time to start cracking jokes and things like that. We'll have to walk around with a smile still. The famous Chodesh HaLevavos that the Klei Yoker brings down in this week's Parsha, I believe, that the Chodesh HaLevavos is trying to give the ultimate tzaddik. The ultimate tzaddik, he says, like one of the first line, it's a Evlo Belibo, but Salosu Befanav. His Avelis is inside of him. On the outside, he smiles. He goes around smiling. He's in Avelis of the Churban the whole year, a true Tzadik Yisrael Olam. But he keeps it inside of him. Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha. So I forgot one of the Rishonim there. I'm not sure if it's a smock or I forgot exactly who says that. That Yitaka, you be in a playful mood. So it's the opposite of Mishenichnas of Mematim B'Simcha. That we're just our mood is just different. So what is it? Simcha, Binyan Shel Simcha, Netiya Shel Simcha, Mekach Memkar Simcha. So the Ran says that Simcha doesn't just mean happy things. Anything which is extra, Laharvacha, that's considered Simcha. So for example, you want to buy a nice piece of furniture in the house. Does it make you happy or not? It's not simple. It's not made for wedding or chasnas or for entertainment. But do I need it? No, I got enough chairs in the house, But it's an extra nicer guest, something leharvacha, to make the house more berevach. That's called simcha. So netiya shel simcha. Tisim doesn't just mean something, flowers that tickle me or, make me mamash happy or, entertaining. But it's something which is extra. Something which is just, I don't need it. I don't need this a whole bunch of flowers here and everything. It makes the house look extra nice and everything. But it's that's called simcha. Binyan shel simcha, same idea. If I'm making extension on my house because I just want a more roomier house and I want to build on a nice extra family room, and something, that's lahavacha, that's extra. That's usher during the 9 days. If it's binyan, if it's just because my house is so small, I don't have enough room for all the children and persons, your grandparents, in-laws are moving in, they need to make an extension of the house, whatever the case might be, that's a tzarech, then that's mutter. So the definition of simcha is lahavach, if it's extra, is usher. If it's a necessity, it's mutter. Buying pots and pans are necessary. You know, buy simple household items, and that's necessary. There's no isher mekach hamemkar on that. There are minhagim and kleisel, they didn't do any businesses. Okay, those are, you know, nice chumas. But as far as what's asr medina, it's laharvacha. That's the definition. Something which is for harvacha is asr. We don't see any isr, for example, tisparis, haircuts, or anything of that nature, washing clothes. None of that is asr al pi chazal during the 9 days. That doesn't become asr until Shavuot Shachalbo. Matzoi Shabbos Chazon, wasn't that becomes us. The meeting amongst Ashkenazim is to extend this and bring us earlier all the way back to the 9 days and some things like disperse even till the 3 weeks and on. As far as washing clothes, Chazal asked two things, kibus pagadim, and they asked gihuts, ironing clothes, pressing clothes. So the whole discussion in the Gemara is that our washing the same, you know, what type of kibbutz is called a kibbutz? You know, that there are rishonim that hold, if you wash without soap, that's not called kibbutz. Kibbutz has to be with soap. We lemaaseh are machmir, and any type of washing is usher. You're not allowed to even wash clothes that you're not using during the 9 days. Clothes doesn't just mean clothes, it means towels, sheets. Even a carpet. Someone asked me, they want to, you know, clean their carpet in 9 days. You know, that type of cleaning, all that type of kibbutz should not be done in 9 days. You're not allowed to iron clothes in 9 days. A woman might have a whole thing of, you know, on her ironing board, had a little free time during the 9 days. Just want to do simple ironing. We're not talking about making pleats or anything of that nature. This simple ironing, that's considered like unconsidered kibbutz. That's gihutz. That's even better. It's pressing the clothes down with an Evan Chalak, a hot stone, which is a modern-day iron. That's usher during the 9 days, whether it's towels, sheets, doesn't make a difference. It became a minig to Imachim, not to even bring things to a goyish washer, launderer, dry cleaner during the 9 days. Even though you're not going to pick it up for another month, for a week, he has enough time to do it afterwards. This, the minig is, we're not osik in washing clothes during the 9 days. If a maid comes to the house and she knows every Tuesday, every Wednesday afternoon she does the wash, you have to tell her this week not to do it. Even though she does it on her own, I don't have to tell her. You know, she's not supposed to do the wash. Obviously, the exception to the rule is, you know, clothes that that children wear that are constantly getting dirty, so that's allowed to wash. Things that are on the body that are you know, always maluchluch and sweaty, like underwear. We try to wash those before, but if you ran out, we could wash those items during the 9 days. And a lot of times people forget to wash things of that nature. So if the clothes are worn on the body, like the maluchluch, those items one's allowed to go and wash during the 9 days. Necessarily try to wash it without soap, you wash it with soap if you need to. Usually people need soap for those type of things. So you're not allowed to wash clothes even though you're not planning to wear them. You're not allowed to wash freshly laundered clothes, even though they were washed before the 9 days, just like by an oval bar minan, this is exact same halacha. That's why the Rama gives an eitzah in Hilchos Avelos, which is brought over to the 9 days, of wearing the clothes a little bit before the 9 days. It says wear it for an hour, shah. The shach says shah is lav dafka. Just wear it for a substantial amount of time, half an hour, 20 minutes. Takes the freshness out of it. You know, it's no longer that fresh thing. There's a minhag that everybody knows about throwing clothes on the floor, you know, and getting them, and therefore they're no longer considered freshly laundered anymore. It does have a mocker. All minhagim have some mocker to it. It's a safer, I think, Lachmi Toda, that discusses the Gabe Avelis. And he brings down this Eitzah to do this. As I say, rather, Lechem Panim. It's the Talmud of the Magen Avraham. It goes back hundreds of years. He gave it this Eitzah to do that. And it was interesting. He only gave this Eitzah when it's a minig, when it's halachically usur to wear freshly laundered clothes. Then he wasn't samach on the Eitzah. By an oval is not allowed to wear freshly laundered clothes during Shiva, and the minig is extended even throughout the whole Shloshim, depending on the case. That's a minig. That's a chumrah. Is that where, that's the case by an oval after Shiva within Shloshim, that's where he was matir this thing of throwing clothes on the floor. Bring that into the 9 days. In the 9 days is only a chumrah, is a minig. Shavur Shachabo is mamish asr. So if a person calls up next week, you know, Sunday, Monday, whatever, and says, yeah, I don't have any, you know, clothes, we can't tell them to throw them on the floor. Just wear your dirty clothes. I mean, there's no Eitzah. Just throwing on the floor Eitzah is only when it's just a chumrah. When it's just a chumrah, then, okay, there might be heterim and covered of bria. You know, one should ask a shiloh, but this kind of chap only works when it's just a chumrah. And it also only works when it really works, meaning when it does take the freshness out of the clothes. To go and just drop your clothes on the freshly vacuumed carpet and pick them up is not going to work. You know, I'm not saying you got to roll them in the mud, but you have to do something to get them that they lost their freshness. That freshness is lost. So that's the Eitzah. On Shabbos, the minhag in the Tanur Amah was to wear weekday clothes. The imamish came to shul with your weekday clothes, weekday shirt, weekday clothes. Doesn't make a difference, but it's, you know, a pink shirt, you know, red shirt. You come in just shul with your Shabbos clothes, with your weekday clothes. The truth is, our Mar brings down, there's a minhag which a lot aren't aware of, is that the whole 9 days are not allowed to wear Shabbos clothes, even though already were worn. So, for example, you get invited to a pirin ben, a bris, something of that nature. During the 9 days, bar mitzvah, suda, whatever it is, you have to come with your weekday clothes. Last night, my son got invited to bar mitzvah, and usually in his class, you know, you come with your bar mitzvah suit and everything. So he went with his regular clothes, his sneakers and everything. He was one of the only ones there. We're dressed that way, but you know, and Taka, there was a rav at the bar mitzvah, so they asked the rav, you know, the question is, should he, maybe he took a white shirt along with him. I told him, take a white shirt, a worn white shirt. Yeah, it was already worn, wasn't freshly laundered. I said, you know, maybe, I don't know what the school policy is, maybe there are, you know, if everyone's wearing it, maybe they're at least white shirt. I don't, you know, put it and ask a shiloh when you get there, find out what the, you know. So there was a chashev rav that was at the bar mitzvah, and one of the rabbeim asked him, should this bachur put on his white shirt? He said, no, let him wear his weekday clothes. He's doing the right thing. So he looked kind of weird, but he came home from Mara last night, and he was there, and he said he felt different. He said, but he knew he was doing the right thing, you know. So sometimes it's like that. A lot of people don't worry about it. But that used to be on Shabbos. On Shabbos, you wear your weekday clothes. This minhag changed. It's hard to know exactly when. Probably 1600s, 1700s. Could be based upon the Bali Kabbalah, the Arizal. And this is also by an oval. An oval bar minhag in Shiva is also supposed to wear his weekday clothes, according to what's written in Shulchan Aruch, according to the Ramah. But the minhag changed. The minhag evolved to wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbos, even freshly laundered clothes on mutter, both for an avol and for all of Klai Yisrael that are in avelis in Shavuot Shachav on Shabbos Chazon. The Aruch HaShulchan explains the history behind the change of the minhag. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that you're not allowed to have avelis before Hesia. It says it used to be the Shabbos clothes were not so different than the weekday clothes. You know, imagine, you don't realize in Europe, certainly when Europe was poor, in the poor parts of Europe, which is from many parts of Europe, the Mashgiach Lezav, David Klunglass, he used to say, I didn't hear it, but I heard it, but shame him, He says, in Europe, you wore a suit, you got a suit for your afruf, you got a suit, and then after 10 years, you flipped it inside out, wore it for another 10 years, and you got a new suit by your son's chasana. So like the Shabbos clothes weren't so much better and different than the weekday clothes. And therefore, wearing your weekday clothes did not stand out so much. It wasn't considered a velus per hesia. Later on, when there's a little more affluence in Europe, or at least people had separate Shabbos clothes, the Hasidim already wore special clothes and everything on Shabbos, and it became accepted that Shabbos clothes were more different than the weekday clothes. There's more nicker, then already became more velus per hesia. And then there was mutter to wear Shabbos clothes on Shabbos. So it shouldn't have a veil of hesi on Shabbos. It's interesting how things change. But that's accepted halacha today. If you're a regular Shabbos, even freshly laundered Shabbos clothes on Shabbos, you're allowed to even put them on before Shabbos, obviously. You don't have to wait till Shabbos to put them on. But you shouldn't wear anything new on Shabbos. Even a new shirt or something, new tie, should not be worn on Shabbos. But it can be freshly laundered.
Even if it doesn't require a shecheinu.
Even if it doesn't require a shecheinu, we wear new things, exactly. Just to end off with a little piece of hashkafa, that the main purpose behind the churban is, the Gemara in Maseches Yuma says, the churban bayis rishon was because of the gimel chamuras. The churban bayis sheni was because of sin eschinim. The Gemara in Shabbos has a whole list of more avers that caused the first churban and the second churban. Bittul Torah and Chilul Shabbos and a lack of emunas chachamim, a lack of kavod to chachamim, and so on and so forth. And there's a famous marsha in Masechet Shabbos that writes this in the 1600s. Says all these things are still happening today. He's writing this in the 1600s. Now, still not some adapting in Shabbos, and we're talking about the Doradeya of the time of the Marsha, and certainly Bismanina. These are things that, Baruch Hashem, little by little we're working on it. But there's interesting Gemara. We all know, but the Gemara points out something. The Gemara says that, how come, what's more chamer? The Gimel chamer is a sin of Shechinim. So the Gemara says, look at the Mokom Mikdash, look at the Bira. Meaning, go look there. It's already been hundreds of years. It's still not. Hasn't been built, and here we are, thousands of years, it has not been built. Meaning the churban bayis rishon lasted for 70 years. The churban bayis sheni lasted; it's still going on. So obviously, sin eschinim is worse than the gimel chamer. It's not obvious, but why? Sin eschinim is very bad. I'm not coming to say that, but why? Shvichus damim avodah zarah gleirai. So the Gemara says the way the Vilna Gaon learns the Gemara there. As he had the gears of the Gemara there, is because they had a moon in the Ribono Shelom. When they did their Avodah Zarah, they had a moon in the Ribono Shelom. They knew they had such a dveikus in the Ribono Shelom, because Baruch Hu b'mochel them. We don't understand the type of Avodah Zarah is Chazal u'mavato, the type of Avodah Zarah. It was like a type of nashim. It was something which just overcame you. But they did it with emunah. They did the Shvichas Daman, whatever type of Shvichas Daman was, with Emuna. I mean, they knew there was a Ribono Shelem. And okay, they were overtaken with the Yetzer Hara, but they had Emuna, the Ribono Shelem. And to the Gilai Shvichas Daman, everything was done with an Emuna. It's a terrible Aveira, we're not coming to condone it, but they had Emuna. The sin of Chinam was because of lack of Emuna. Why do we get upset at someone else? When someone else wronged us by accident, on purpose, whatever they did, why do we get upset at our neighbor, at our spouse, at our why do we, what makes us always upset? Because we don't realize that Kosher Baruch Hu is running the show. Who smashed your car? It was a puppet. The Ribono Shelem happened to be, it was my old enemy that did it. Okay, Kosher Baruch Hu chose him to do it, but he's just a puppet of the Ribono Shelem. And why this person make you lose money and wrong you in business? It's Ribono Shelem doing it. Ribono Shelem is picking that person as a puppet. And that's, so who are you hating? You're hating this person? He's just a mere puppet. It's Kosher Baruch Hu just makes all this happen to make you into a shalim, to make you work on your midas, to make you do tshuva, whatever it is, to zayin kapara, but But it's the Tinas Kinam is a lack of emunah, and that's what Klal Yisrael lacked in the time of the second base of Mikdash. Well, it wasn't that, you know, just Beinom Lechaveir, and that was it was Beinom Lemakom, and that's what the Vilna Gaon points out, that the Tinas Kinam was a Beinom Lemakom, you know, and that was, you know, that was why it was Mochamer, you know, and that's why it, and as we work on our Beinom Lechaveir, you know, and it's as we work on our emunah, you know, a lot of times you think emunah, I'll daven more kavanah, and I'll believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'll look at the Bria, you know, and everything else. That's true, you know. You know, we learn Chavos Levavos, Shaar Bitachon. Yeah, that's true. But the idea is, a person has real emunah, everyone's his friend. You know, he has no sin of skin. Whoever wronged him, just end off with a story that my grandmother Olam Shel Olam. The year before she was in the terrace, she told me over different things about her father, her grandfather. So her father came to America keneged his father-in-law's Rutzen. He came here on his own. Chassidus Yid always wore his beard here in America and everything. His brother brought him over, and he wanted to bring the whole family over, but his father-in-law, his first, said no. They're not going to America. So obviously he wasn't happy about that, but so he went over. Anyways, he was going to go over by himself at first. And so I think I got the story wrong. I mean, he went over by himself at first. The idea was the family was going to follow him in 6 months, whatever. And then he got a letter from his father-in-law, they're not coming. So imagine what we would feel. You know, we all know that in-laws are already on our, you know, everyone has, you know, naturally has issues with in-laws. And I think it was 6 years. That 6 years, he didn't let my great grandmother come with the mishpacha. And my grandmother said that he wrote back letters praising his father-in-law. How you doing? How's everything? He never had an inch of anything of bad issues with his father-in-law. You know, he mamish. You know, he wasn't happy about it. I guess he assumes Fallon was wrong, but he said he never showed, even when he reminisced about that time, it was not mamish, one inch of sinna, of being upset or anything. It's like, it's mamish, that takes emunah, more than just being a nice guy. That takes emunah in Ribbono Shel Olam. And when people have come to me with in-law issues and things like that, I tell them, I said, yeah, I mean, your in-laws are just puppets. You know, you're married to a family, whatever it is. You know, with all different family feud issues that happen, you know, they're all just puppets. Kosh Baruch Hu knew this is what's good for you. Okay, you got to figure out ways to make shalom, ways to work things out. They're all just a bunch of puppets. You know, if one goes with that attitude, which is easier said than done, I have to admit, but that's what we work on during the 9 days and Tisha B'Av. Shal Bizocha. That through this our chazik our emunah, we should be zochet to the binyan bayis from here.